Masechet Kelim Perek Tet Mishnah Het. We'll talk in this Mishnah about a sealed oven that develops a hole, but a little bit different from the last Mishnah. We mentioned earlier on that the oven has a eye, which means a type of vent that allows the smoke to escape, and that's how it would normally run, so the oven wouldn't overheat. But in this scenario, let's say that vent was sealed shut with clay to seal the oven totally, and then that plug, that clay plug that was there, it developed a hole in it. What size of a hole in that spot of the oven unsealed the oven, so it's now no longer shielded from tum'ah? Mishnah says, Tanur shinikav me'ino shi'uro melokush nichnas ve'yotze dolek. If a sealed earthenware oven developed a hole in the vent, if that hole is the size of a spindle that would go in and out of it while on fire, and the hole wouldn't put out the fire, if it was wide enough where it can go in and out, and the narrowness wouldn't extinguish the fire, it's considered to be a break in the seal of the oven over here, in the vent hole of the oven. Rabbi Yehuda omer shelo dodek. Rabbi Yehuda is more strict. He says, even if it does not remain on fire, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a smaller hole would unseal the oven. If the spindle would go in and out in a smaller hole, but then the flame would go out because it's a tight space, the hole is large enough to unseal the oven. We have the inverse here. We're talking about a hole that didn't develop in the middle of the plug that sealed the vent, but the side between the plug and the vent hole itself. The Tanaim take the opposite opinion. Again, there must have been a tradition here between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda about these two measurements of the spindle that would go in and out and not be extinguished, and the spindle that's on fire that would go in and out and be extinguished. Nikav misido shi'uro kimlo kush nichnas v'yotze shelo dolek. If the plugged vent hole developed a hole at its side where the plug and the vent hole meet, the size of the hole that breaks the seal is one that's large enough for a spindle to go in and out, even if it does not remain on fire. So here we see Tanakama taking the strict opinion that it's, even if it's small enough where you put it in and out and it would get extinguished, that's enough of a break. Rabbi Yehuda omer dolek. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, the hole has to be large enough for the spindle to go in and out and remain on fire. Another Tana is more stringent than both opinions. Rabbi Shimon omer, min ha'emsa nichnas, min ha'sad eno nichnas. Says Rabbi Shimon, if the plugged hole developed a hole in the middle, the vent hole has a hole in the middle, and the hole is large enough for the spindle to go into, even if the flame will go out, and that's enough to consider the oven to be unsealed. The hole's diameter must be slightly larger than that of the spindle. If it goes in and it extinguishes it, that's enough for the oven to be considered unsealed. And if the plugged vent hole has a hole at its side, then even a smaller hole than that, as large as the spindle, that can't even go into it, it's exactly the same diameter, that's enough to consider the seal to be unbroken. So Rabbi Shimon is more stringent than all of them. According to the other opinions, when it comes to the middle of the hole, if it goes in and out, it would extinguish it. Here, even if it goes in, it's small enough that it goes in and it would extinguish it with just going in, that's considered to be a break. And then on the side, it can't even go in. So that's stricter than both opinions. It can't even fit in. It's exactly the size of the spindle itself. That's considered to be a break in the seal. Another case where Rabbi Shimon has a similar view. Rabbi Shimon would say the same about a hole that developed in the clay cork stopper of a sealed earthenware barrel. We spoke about it earlier. Rabbi Shimon would say that a smaller hole in the side of the stopper would unseal the barrel. A hole in the middle of the stopper would have to be larger. Shi'ura melo mitza shiniya shel shifon. If the stopper developed a hole in the middle or at the side, the size of the hole that breaks the barrel is one that's as large as the second ring of a rye stalk. The rye stalks, which is a type of grain, they grow in segments, each one of them having a different size. Each segment grows narrower than the one under it. So the lowest is the widest, and the second one is a little bit more narrow than that, and the third one is even more narrow than that, than the second one. Here we're saying the diameter of the second ring from the bottom is the one we use when measuring the hole of the stopper. Min ha'emsa nichnas, min ha'sad eno nichnas. But the two measures are a little bit different when it comes to the stopper. If the stopper of a earthenware barrel develops a hole in the middle, then a hole large enough for the second ring of the stalk to go into is needed to unseal the barrel. Min hasad eno nichnas, if the stopper develops a hole at the side, then even a smaller hole, the diameter of the stalk itself, but it can't even fit in because it's exactly the same diameter, is enough to unseal the barrel. A third case, Rabbi Shimon would have a similar view. Rabbi Shimon would say about a hole that develops in the clay stoppers of large earthenware casks that were sealed. If the stopper developed a hole in the middle or the side where the mouth of the, where they meet, the mouth of the large cask, the size of the hole that breaks the seal is one that's as large as the second ring of a reed. They grow in a similar way, wider at the bottom of the different parts of it, and they narrow more on top. So that's what he would say. That breaks the seal. It's one as large as a second ring of a reed, but the two measures are a little bit different. Min ha'emsa nichnas, min ha'sad eno nichnas. If we're talking about if the stopper develops a hole in the middle, then a hole large enough for the second ring of the reed to go into is needed to be for the cask to be considered unsealed. But if the stopper has a hole at the side, even a smaller hole, which is the same diameter of the reed, that but it can't go into it because it's exactly the same diameter, that's enough to unseal the cask. The Mishnah gave us measures for a hole in sealed barrels or large casks, rye and a reed. Now we'll qualify these rulings and say that they only apply to certain types of barrels and certain types of casks. Where did we say those halachot that there's a minimum size, the hole in the stopper has to be in order to unseal the barrel or the cask? Only when they were made for wine, when the barrel or the cask is holding wine. But if they were made for other liquids, like oil, like honey, like milk, then there's no minimum size. A mini, small hole in the stopper unseals the barrel and the cask, and they become tameh from the corpse that's in a tent with them. We'll qualify the halakha even more, that even in the case of wine, those measurements don't always apply. When did we say that halakha, that the minimum size of a hole in the stopper has to be certain things, either the rye or the reed to unseal the barrel or the cask of wine? Only when the holes were not made on purpose by a person. But if they were made on purpose by a person, then there's no minimum size. A small, tiny hole would unseal the stopper of the barrel or the cask of wine, and they become tameh from a corpse in a tent. Till now, the Mishnah was talking about a hole in the clay that seals up the opening of an earthenware vessel. Now the Mishnah will talk about a hole in the vessel itself, not the seal. Nikebu, if the barrel or the cask gets a hole, then the size of a hole that makes the barrel or the cask open to corpse tum'ah depends on what the barrel or cask was made for. Hey, asula ochalin shi'uran bezetim. If the barrel or the cask was made to hold on to food, then the size of their hole is measured by their ability to hold olives. If they develop a hole large enough for an olive to fall through, tum'ah enters the hole. If the barrel was made or the cask for holding liquids, then the size of the hole is measured by their ability to hold liquids. If they develop a hole that's large enough now that liquid could seep into, tuma enters that hole. If the barrel or the cask was made for holding both foods and liquids, we apply it to the stricter size. So even if the barrel or the cask had a covered seal all around, tum'ah would enter a hole that would allow liquids to seep in. Liquids are the mahmir over here, the stricter side, because even a smaller hole liquids would be able to get into, as opposed to a bigger hole where you need a certain way that olives could get into. So therefore, even if the barrel or the cask had a cover all around it, tuma would enter a hole that would allow liquid to seep into.